Good morning. Early Merry Christmas to you. This morning we're going to be looking at the book of Hebrews chapter 1. If you'd like to go ahead and turn there, I will have a slide for this too. Minimal slide changing for Mark today. We've got one slide of scripture here for you. But if you'd like to go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 1, starting in verse 1. So what do you guys think of when you think about Christmas? What comes to mind? Jesus. Great answer. Anytime you're in church, that's a great answer. Whatever the question is. Yeah, point for Daryl. What else? Family, yeah. Time with family and friends. Exchanging gifts, maybe, might be part of it. You might think about the decorations. You might think about the celebrations you go to. Way too much cookies and cake and stuff for me. A lot of great food. But Christmas music also, for me, is a big part of it. We listen to a whole lot of music at my house, which is wonderful. I love that. I enjoy Christmas songs a lot. A lot of old ones that I enjoy quite a bit. I like Silent Night and Joy to the World. Those are two of my favorites. How Many Kings we sung earlier. That's not real recent, but it's been out a little while, but it's fairly recent. Great song. I love the lyrics on that. There's a new one from Casting Crowns called Make Room. Have you guys heard that? That's a wonderful, wonderful song. Check that one out. Chris Tomlin has a new one, Christmas Day, that's pretty good. Well, these songs that are about Christ, I think the thing that one of the things I like, besides they communicate biblical truth, which is wonderful, but they kind of echo that praise that's in us, in our hearts, that we have for Jesus, and help us to really just worship Him from our hearts and speak our heart language with that music. Of course, there is a variety of Christmas music out there. There's some songs that really have to do more with snowmen and Santa and things that, you know, not putting that down, nothing wrong with that. But there's a lot of voices out there. This time of year, it seems like, particularly, there's just so much noise in our culture. Just everywhere you go out to the mall, and of course there's more people out, right? So there's just people talking, and there's music, and with social media and everything, and there's a lot of sound out there. You know, you can go to the mall, or Walmart, or Meijer, wherever, you can go out to the store, and there's a lot of festive things happening. You see all these Christmas trees and lights everywhere and music playing. And there's a lot of reference to Christmas. Everywhere you go, there's references to Christmas. But you can actually be immersed in all these voices about Christmas and images about Christmas and hear nothing about Jesus, nothing about the Savior necessarily, or Jesus being our King. The fact that the baby born in Bethlehem didn't stay a baby. As Brad told us clearly earlier as we were worshiping, that he grew up and he had a mission to fulfill, a mission to save us, to take our sin upon himself and rescue us. And we don't necessarily hear about that a lot as we hear messages about Christmas. You know, this Christmas season, I think it's important to remember that it matters who we're listening to. It matters the voices, the messages we're hearing. And so one of the first questions I'd ask you to maybe ask yourself this morning is, who are you listening to as far as what Christmas is about? And you know, the big question I think this morning is, are you really intentional to make sure that you're listening to God along with these thousand other voices that are out there this time of year that have to do with a multitude of things, including Christmas? Are you intentionally and expectantly listening for God's voice to speak to you this Christmas season? I think it's important to have that intentionality. You know, it's important to understand that the Bible's clear. The God of the Bible communicates with us. You know, the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament is always a God who is revealing who He is to us and revealing who we are and revealing our need for Him. And He wants to lead our lives. He wants us to hear His voice and to follow Him, and He's intentionally communicating with us. And so we need to be intentional to make sure, am I listening for God's voice? Am I for what He has for me this Christmas season? One of the ways that He communicates is through creation. Psalm 19 tells us, the heavens declare the glory of God. God's creation speaks something about the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. And so all the time, God is speaking, maybe in a quieter way, but he's speaking through his creation to us of his glory and his power and his majesty. Romans 1:20 tells us, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made." God is speaking to us through his creation so that people are without excuse. Even people who say they're non-believers, God's speaking to all of us saying, "I'm here and you need to know me." God also communicates through our conscience, through the human conscience. Most people are born with a moral code. Most people are understanding that the Creator has a moral law, and we're on the right or wrong side of that with our choices that we make. And God wants us to understand that he is a moral God and that there is a moral standard that he's giving us. And he communicates through our conscience. Romans 2:15 says, "They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, sometimes defending them." But God gives us this to speak direction to us about the choices we make morally. As Christians, we know in particular, God speaks through his word. God speaks through the Bible. And we need to understand that the Holy Spirit uses the Bible to lead us and direct us and reveal truth to us. He wants us, as we read the Word of God, to comprehend who Jesus is and the worth, the value, the significance of who Jesus is, and for us to worship Jesus as we see him in his Word. And so God is speaking very clearly to us through the Bible and very forcefully in the person of Jesus Christ. So this morning we're going to look at Hebrews, starting in verse 1 here of chapter 1. And I just want to start out by giving a little bit of background here. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, really is all about Jesus being supreme. That Jesus is superior to everything. That Jesus is better than anything else. In this book, in Hebrews, there's a Greek word there, kriton, and it's translated as better, referring to Jesus 12 times in this very short book of the Bible. And so over and over, God's emphatically speaking to us and telling us Jesus is superior to anything else. Realize who my son is. Focus on my son. He has dominion. He's worthy of dominion because he's greater than anything else. We see here in Hebrews 1, and we'll see this in just a minute, but that Jesus is better than the angels. You know, the angels are magnificent, part of God's creation, and they are messengers. That's what, in the Greek, what the word angels means, is messengers. And we know that God has raised up great prophets in the past that we read about in the Old Testament. And these men who were inspired by God were messengers for God and did wondrous acts, but Jesus is superior to them. We see that in chapter 9 of Hebrews that Jesus offered a better sacrifice through his blood. In chapter 12, it tells us that Jesus' blood speaks of better things, like our eternal possession, that God owns us eternally because of the blood of Christ. In chapter 7 and chapter 8 of Hebrews, Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant. Everything about Jesus, everything about who he is, everything that he does is superior to everything else. And in chapter 7, in verse 19, God tells us that Jesus gives his people a better hope. Jesus gives us a better hope, that we draw near to God through Christ and have this confidence of our relationship with God because of Jesus. So let's go ahead and start here in verse 1. "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways." So God has revealed truth. He has spoken to us in the past, in the Old Testament, through his prophets. And these are human spokesmen. They're inspired by the Holy Spirit. But the word tells us that they spoke at many times and in various ways, disclosing God's truth, speaking for God to his people. And in a sense, it's like a puzzle piece that God is, through the prophets, pointing more and more, giving a more complete picture of who Jesus is and Jesus coming into the world and our need for him. But we don't have the complete picture with the prophets. They would have like parts of a puzzle piece. Instead of seeing the whole picture, a prophet would come and reveal something of the nature of God and our need for God, our need for a Savior. And so maybe it would be the part of the puzzle with that blue splotch that's all together, or that part of the puzzle that's all those pieces with the straight edges that fit together, and that would be one prophet, and then another prophet would come and reveal something else that God would want his people to know. Now we know through Moses, Moses gave the Ten Commandments. You know, God was revealing through the Ten Commandments that he is holy, that he is utterly distinct from his creation, that he is holy in a way that we can't be, that we are sinners. God was revealing through the law given by Moses that we need a Savior because we can't perfectly keep the law. And so that pointing through Moses to the fact that his moral law, which is good and perfect and reasonable, we're not good enough to keep it. We're not holy or perfect enough, and so we need a Savior. We need God to send somebody who is perfect to be a sacrifice for us. Through the prophet Elijah, God called his people to forsake idolatry. Another message that we need to hear, because our hearts are idol factories. We're so quick to worship anything other than God in our own nature. And so God sent Elijah, and Elijah told people, you're worshiping false gods. Stop worshiping false gods and only worship the one true God. And it's not just gods of wood or gods of metal or things like that that are carved, but it can be gods of maybe you elevate your opinion too highly. Maybe God says this in his word, but you think this other thing, and you think, well, I can do what I want to do. Because my opinion, it makes sense to me, and I've got my justifications, and that's an idol. God says, no idols. Through Elijah, forsake those things. There is one true God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Don't have a divided heart. Worship the one true God and him alone. Through Isaiah, God spoke about his sovereignty. And again, his holiness and his glory. And Isaiah was undone in the presence of God. And so God gave him this vision, this understanding that God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. He is holy. He is the king of the universe who reigns over everything. And that God is so holy and so perfect and so glorious that he cannot stand sin in his presence. And God spoke this truth to us through Isaiah, giving us an understanding like God gave Isaiah. We need cleansing. We need for our sin to be dealt with. Through the prophet Amos, God spoke concerning moral character, his own moral character, and the necessity for a commitment to righteousness. That a righteous God requires people to be righteous people that are going to claim his name and follow him. I mean, if there's anybody who has integrity that's consistent with their character, it's God, right? Well, a God of integrity requires integrity of his people. Through the prophet Hosea, God spoke regarding his grace and his mercy and his love, and the way that Hosea took back his wife who was adulterous and unfaithful, and God said, I am rich in mercy. When you go astray, I'm not waiting with a judgment hammer to beat you down. I'm going to draw you back with my kindness and my love and forgive you. And God communicated that. He was speaking to us through that prophet. So again, here in verse 1, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets. At many times, in many ways, are we listening to God speak through them? And more importantly, are we listening to the one that all the prophets were pointing to, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Verse 2, but in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. So is Jesus Christ, who is heir of all things, is Jesus Christ who is this full disclosure of God. It's not the prophets themselves. They were pointing to Christ, and Jesus is the one. as the Son of God that is the heir of all things. He is the heir of this world. You know, we think of that image of a beautiful little baby in that manger, and that's wonderful and special, and but he's so much more. He's so much more. In Revelation 11:15, the Bible tells us the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. Jesus is an eternal king, and he has dominion over everything, and not just this world. In Ephesians 1, the Bible tells us that the power that raised Christ from the dead seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, that he is far above all rule and all authority. He has all power. He has all dominion. He is above every name that is invoked in the present or the future or through all eternity. Jesus reigns over everything. He has dominion over the universe. And not only does he rule, he actually created it. He actually made it. Verse 2, in these days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. That little baby is a whole lot more than we knew. He has authority over all of creation. Are we listening to him like he has authority over all creation, like he created everything? Are we paying attention to him for who he is? You know, Jeff in the prayer time this morning mentioned the culture that we're in right now, and just the animosity and division and hatred, and which is true. It's sad, and we all need to be crying out to the Lord about that for healing in our land. But I think about during my life, most of the time, at least for me, no matter who a president is or was, no matter what political party they were in, I would have treated them with respect because of the office. You know, if I was like my wife was here a few years ago at school teaching, and a motorcade pulled up, and the President of the United States got out and wanted to meet the kids, which happened, it doesn't matter what political party. I may agree with his policies or not. He's the President of the United States. And not only am I going to treat him with respect, I'm going to listen to whatever he's got to say because he's the President. You know, Peyton Manning, if you're a Colts fan, and I know he's not a Colt anymore, but we love Peyton anyway. If Peyton Manning, you know, if his car broke down, he's going by your house, and it's like, hey, I just need to call somebody, and can I come in? And you're like, sure, Peyton, come on in. And you're having some lunch with Peyton, and you'd probably listen to whatever Peyton had to say, and you know, you would treat him with respect, and you'd listen to him. You know, if somebody was in the military, if you were an ex-military and a general speaking to you, because of who they are, they've got your attention. You are intently listening to every word they say. How much more for Jesus? How much more for the King of the universe who created everything and reigns over everything should he fully, intently have our attention to anything he wants to say to us today? The Apostle John in John 1 wrote, and he's speaking of Jesus Christ. He says, he was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Jesus made everything. The Son of God, who created it all, has authority over it all. And he hasn't stopped talking. God hasn't stopped speaking to us. He's speaking to us this Christmas like he's speaking to us every Christmas through his word. Christ has things to say to us this morning. There in John 1, and I'll read this for you, in verse 4, speaking of Christ, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's an interesting word there for light in the Greek. It's used often in the New Testament. The Greek word there is phos, which is not, it kind of sounds like force, but you're saying it with an accent. Like, may the phos be with you, but that's not what it is. It's just phos. But it's the Greek word for light, and it's used several times in reference to Christ. And this specific Greek word for light, what it means is a revealing light. It's a light that speaks truth, and we need to hear truth from Jesus, that he is the light who's revealing God to us and revealing God's leading for us. And specifically here in John, it's speaking of Jesus being a light that reveals spiritual life. That he's telling us how to have life in him. He's the one who reveals that. But continuing here in Hebrews this morning, we see Jesus is also another kind of light. And this is a very special, different word. Here in verse 3, the sun is the radiance, the brilliance, the light of God's glory. And this is a very different type of light. The word translated here is radiance. Some of your translations will have brightness. Is apalgasma. This is the only place in the whole Bible that this word appears, this Greek word. And it means that Christ is the eternal radiance of the glory of God himself. That he's not just a light that's revealing truth, but he is the glory of God. He is emitting the glory of God that is full of power and majesty. And this light of Christ, this light of radiance and brilliance of the glory of God is so powerful that no darkness can stand against it. No resistance could overcome it. That this is a light that, you know, if you've ever had sin in your life that you felt had a stronghold and you couldn't break, this light destroys it. This doesn't just speak truth about it. This light is powerful. This light is the glory of God that utterly destroys opposition to God. And Jesus embodies this. He crushes what seems to be an unbreakable bond of sin. Jesus is the light that sets us free from sin. Continue here in verse 3, the sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. He's not just another messenger. Jesus isn't just another spokesperson for God who's maybe a little extra special or a bigger part of the puzzle. He's the whole picture. He is the very nature of the Father. He is the revelation of God. Colossians 1:19 tells us, for God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Jesus Christ. The fullness of God in the Son of God. And it's only him who can create and reign and save and continue to sustain the creation that he's made. The Son of God does this. Sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for our sins. That baby born in Bethlehem. More than a messenger. He is the sinless one who came as a sacrifice. He came to die. He came to live a perfect life, to take all of our sin upon himself, to go to that cross, and to die for us so that we could be forgiven. So are you listening to him this morning? Jesus is the only one. He tells us he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through him. Salvation is found in no other name. He's the only one who can forgive your sins and give eternal life. So are you really listening to him today? Yeah, I love Christmas songs and exchanging gifts and decorating and all that, but and celebrating the birth of that baby, but it's not enough. It's not enough. And we have to do more than just acknowledge this beautiful story or this message. We have to respond to him. You know, Jesus is revealing that he is God meeting our deepest need, and we have to receive it. We have to choose to respond and receive this gift. Jesus sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. He sat in this place of supreme honor over everything. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. You know, Jesus was born to be our Savior. He's born to be our Redeemer. But he is Lord. He is Lord. He is King. And are we listening to him like he is in our lives? Are we intentionally saying, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Your word tells me that, and I am listening for you today to lead me as though you're Lord and I'm not. Are you listening to him today? Are you responding to him? You know, maybe today you're in that place that, as we prayed about earlier, people who are in a place where they feel alone this holiday season. I know for some folks this is not a very merry and bright time of year. You know, there's people that we dearly love who are gone, and we don't know what to do with that love. You know, there's despair over our loved ones who are not in a good place right now. And are we listening to Christ, though? Jesus says, come to me. Give me your burdens. Let me help you with that. Let me take that for you. Jesus says, follow me. In me is fullness of joy. Are we listening to him this morning? Are we hearing what he's saying through his word? And then are we responding to what he's saying and receiving it? You know, Jesus and what God is speaking through Jesus Christ is inseparable from who he is. We can't receive his word. We can't receive his leading us without receiving him. You have to receive Christ in order to receive what he says.